perhaps when the Lord speaks in a particular way, it's a very humbling thing to hear those words and to try and work out what it is he's saying to us as individuals and as a church. Now, we've already had two readings from the Bible, in which we've heard the Word of God also. Some of you will have heard those words, and God would have been speaking to you in lots of different ways. You will have heard a particular verse or a word that will have, which will have touched your life. And what he wants us to do is to hear those whispers, those words, and to react to them as he reveals his will to our lives. So that we don't just sit on those words and they're just not just washing over us and we don't take them in, but we actually take them in and respond to them as God leads us. And it's so that in a sense that we will grow in him, because that's what he longs for with all of his children. And for that, just as that prophecy was saying, really, we kind of need to be awake to what God is doing and what he is saying. That's why we've allowed a wee bit more space in the service this morning. There's lots of words in the church here, and they're wonderful words, but sometimes a little bit of silence together to allow God to speak in and through the silence and through the words that he has already said. So I'm not going to read the third reading, although I'm going to read one verse a little bit later on. It is the words of Jesus. In fact, I will read that sentence there. It's just the last part of Matthew 11. Don't need to turn to it. It's where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And that's what it's meant to be like as we walk hand in hand with the living God. There will be challenges and there will be opportunities for change, but always we will find rest in his presence. And the minute we step outside of his will and outside of his purpose, we begin to struggle. Not least because he is the one who is the very breath of our life. He is the reason that I'm actually alive today and tomorrow and the next day. And that's the important thing, that God is the God for all things. Every breath that we take, every move that we make, to pinch the words from a different song. But actually we need to know that God is real and God is present. In the middle reading, the second reading we have from Paul's letter to the Romans, we heard something of his struggles, and it's about him being really alert to what God was doing in him. And his struggles were just like any other of us, really. Struggling in our relationship with God, and struggling with that bit of us which still leads us into sinful ways. I don't know if any of you like C.S. Lewis, but in the film Shadowlands, which was the story about his life, one of the pupils in the story was talking to C.S. Lewis, and he said this. He said, "My dad always says, we read to know that we are not alone. We read to know that we are not alone." There's something very profound about that, actually. And certainly it's true in the scripture. You look through the Bible, the Bible is full of examples of people who are learning to walk with God. People are having all kinds of struggles, but he never lets them go, ever. So Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, they all make mistakes along the way, all of them without exception, and Paul himself. And it just reminds us that we're not alone, you know, we're human beings whom God has chosen to inhabit by his Holy Spirit and to bring life to us. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation, but there's that bit in me that God is working on and will continue to work on until the day I go to glory with him. But we're not alone. We have a battle on, and it's not very easy, and sometimes it feels like it feels like it's very difficult. But that's because God cares for us, and he wants us very much to enjoy all that's possible in him. I was thinking about the experience, a number of experiences of going to the Holy Land and seeing the ways that they used to press the olives from the olive trees. And they used to gather up those olives and put them in sacks, one on top of the other, and then bring a bean down to squash all the goodness of the oil into the gathering trays below. And the saying goes this, that the more pressure that's exerted, the more oil that they get. And oil is such a precious commodity, that type of oil over there. And so they would gather up as many of the olives as they could and press it as hard as they could to get the best substance from it and to use it the best they can. And you know, God is doing that, kind of pressing down upon us, trying to squeeze out those bits of us that aren't right about us. You know, a bit like Jacob, a bit like Abraham, a bit like Moses. People of God trying to follow God in their own way, but getting things wrong. And I think that God wants to do that in us all. Just squeeze on us. But the good thing about the olive is, it's a symbol and sign of God's presence, his Holy Spirit. So when he squeezes out the bits aren't quite right, actually we're immersed in the oil of his presence, the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that Jesus, when he went to Gethsemane, the name literally means the pressing place. And it's where Jesus went to pray just before he was to have to endure the way of the cross. And literally, he sweat drops of blood because it was such a painful and awful experience that he had to face. But he had to go through it. He chose to go through it for two reasons. One, because he loved his Father so very much, and it was his Father's will. And secondly, because he loved the world and the people in it. So it became a pressing place for him, a place where all those kind of battles went on, that he was going to win that battle, and he was going to win the subsequent battle on the cross. And he has won that battle on the cross. So what does that mean for us? Part of being awake, actually, it's about us learning to press in towards the very presence of God. And this is what Paul was beginning, continually recognising in his life. What is it he says? I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate doing. What's that all about? Paul? Really? Yes, Paul, really. Paul got things wrong too. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. So he's just like us. He's just like us, who a man who was in Christ, and God was beginning to put him right. He put the squeeze on his life, and beginning to set it Paul, and shines a light on those bits in us that are not good. You know what those things are, we don't need to know. But things like, I suppose, you know, continually falling out with someone, continually saying things, putting our foot in it before we've actually engaged brain. You know the kind of stuff. Those things happen all the time. The way we live our lives, we need God's persistent pressing in on us to help us to be right in him. Now the truth is, of course, we can only enter the throne of grace because of God's righteousness that lives in us by his Spirit. But there's bits of us he's still working on. And Paul recognises that in this passage. I do the very thing I hate. But he says at the end of that wee passage there, but thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. In him there is victory in all of this. So this is going to go on to the end of our lives, isn't it? That's the reality. One thing will be put right, and then maybe it will come back to haunt us a bit later on, or it will be dealt with, or maybe it will be something else that the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, will reveal to us. We need to press in towards God, and of course, the closer that we get to him, the closer we get, the more that God's Holy Spirit that is within us. So, in effect, we will find that there will be this consistent battle with the devil who's trying to trip us up, get us to make the mistakes that keep us from recognising the fullness that we can have in God. But actually and essentially, we really do need to submit to all that God has for us and means for us to have. We need to learn to recognise with Paul that the God of heaven does bring that gentle pressure on those whom he loves to produce the oil of gladness within us and the resulting joy that this can bring. And sometimes it's really painful, but we need to learn to just stay with him in all of these struggles that we do have. And yes, the pressure will come in the midst of Christian living. It's not an easy road that we travel, but it is a road that we travel with God in Christ and his Spirit within us. And because there is two natures within us at work, a battleground that's going on all the time, we do need to recognise it's a battle that Christ has overcome and will continue to overcome in us as we open ourselves to him. So if you're with me, and with Moses, Abraham, Isaac and all the rest, Jacob all the way back through, and Paul, and say, I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. That's the beginning of the road to complete rest in Christ. Because you're recognising your own frailty and the wrongs that you do in your life. And that we need a deeper relationship with God. I do. And I think all of us do, if we're honest about that. So let's spend a moment now as we continue to literally feel God's gentle pressure upon our lives, as we feel his Spirit upon us, leading us ever closer into his presence. Allow him to do that work in you that he wants to do in us all. So let's just keep a little more silence and stillness as we become even more awake to the truth of God's love and his presence in our lives, as well as in this place.